Welcome to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets, where world-renowned author, speaker, and holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy Morgan answers your questions and offers healthy options for raising your pets in a more holistic manner. Not sure which vaccinations should be given or how often? Not sure what to use for flea, tick, and heartworm prevention? Join Dr. Judy now as she interviews the top experts and showcases the latest products that will help your pets stay naturally healthy.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on DreamVision7Radio.com. I'm your host, Dr. Judy. You can hear my show every Monday and Tuesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're curious, you can go back through the archives, see what shows we've had in the past. They're all there for your listening pleasure. So today I have a guest who is very like-minded with me, and I believe we met at a holistic veterinary medical conference, and we've kind of run across each other's paths a few times, and I kind of like it when I'm in the company of people who have a lot of the same beliefs as I do, especially when it comes to the health of our pets. So my guest today is a veterinarian who is practicing in Illinois and Wisconsin, I believe, Dr. Rosemarie Nisnik, and her soon-to-be, or starting off, house call practice is called Harmony Rose Animal Wellness, and that's also the website, harmonyroseanimalwellness.com. Rosemarie, thanks for joining me today.
Oh, thank you for having me on your show. I appreciate it.
So, you know, all of us, or most of us anyway, who become veterinarians, and particularly those who become holistic veterinarians, have a reason. You know, it was a certain patient, a certain animal, something that happened to us personally. So I'm going to ask for a little bit of history here. When did you know that you wanted to be a veterinarian, and why?
Oh, wow. That takes me back to when I was a young child. I was in Catholic school in Pennsylvania, and my classmates remember this about me, and they told me this in reunions, that I told people since I was a little child, I'm going to become a veterinarian. And I had dogs growing up. I didn't have a lot of access to pets or animals or horses or anything, but they remember, you know, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, seventh grade, high school. I said, I'm going to become a veterinarian. And I was born with, you know, I just said, that's what I'm
going to
do.
That is very cool. So, you know, you see a lot of children, you know, a lot of children come in my office and their mom will look at them and say, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be an animal doctor. I want to be a veterinarian. And, you know, you wonder how many of them are going to get sidetracked and, you know, end up doing something totally different. But there are some who start very, very, very early on saying, nope, I have a little girl in Texas who runs in from school every day. I think she's in first grade. Runs in from school every day, runs to the computer where her mom will have it set up for her to listen to my breakfast with spaniels that is done in the morning. So she runs in from school to listen to breakfast with spaniels, and she's six. So I got to meet her when I was presenting in Texas. So, you know, it's kind of nice to be the role model once in a while. And so I try to be careful about what I say, because I know there are, now that I know children are listening and watching.
Oh, yeah.
So what year did you graduate from vet school?
In 1990, and from the University of Georgia.
Okay, so how did you get from Pennsylvania to Georgia?
I went to Penn State because we knew we had to go to an agricultural school. Mm-hmm. So I went to Penn State undergrad, stayed home for 1 year in college, and it kind of felt like glorified high school, but it helped keep my grades up because you know, studied a lot. And then we went to main campus, and the vet school in Pennsylvania was, you know, the University of Pennsylvania. And I guess they just, back then it was expensive.
Back
then it was like $11,000, $12,000 a year, which was unheard of because our Penn State tuition was like $2,000 or $3,000 a year. And they just said it was very unsafe for women to go there, and you had to have a German Shepherd, and you're in Philly, And it was very research-oriented, but, you know, I still applied, and I got waitlisted, and I stayed at Penn State for a year and worked as a technician, and I think I took an embryology class for another veterinary school because I applied to different schools, and then I think the second year, you had to say, hey, it's time to to go somewhere and try to establish residency, because that in that year, 1984, 85, is when they opened it up and you could apply as a non-state resident. Mm-hmm. Because before then, you had to be, you just had to go to that vet school in your state, and if you didn't get in, that was the end. So
right.
A lot of Penn State grads, we just scattered to Kansas, Ohio. We just scattered to every state we can. And my roommate, Dr. Kate McDuffie, in undergrad, she went to Georgia because her parents moved from Pennsylvania to Georgia. And she got into the University of Georgia with another friend of ours, Wendy, from Penn State. And I said, well, I know her grades, and I know her GRE, so I'll come live with you when you're a freshman student, and then I'll work as a technician, and then I'll apply to Georgia. And so my parents took me down there, and they said, good luck. And then I didn't even have a chance to open my letter because Kate brought it to work with flowers. And said, here's your letter. You got into school. I opened it. I'm sorry. Here's your flowers. And you're like, but that's good, because she knew I was going to stress out over the letter, because she knew that was probably the last year I was going to apply. And I actually got into Tennessee and Wisconsin. And I said, I don't want to go to Wisconsin. It's too cold up there. And then I live in Wisconsin, so when I go out, come around.
I made my decision over which school I was going to as well based on the weather. So I'm not the only person who makes it based on that. But, your description of, the length of time, and I don't know how much it's changed. I know people still really stress out when they're applying to vet school, like, am I going to get in? Because there aren't that many veterinary schools. It's more difficult to get into than medical school because there's just that many less seats available. But I graduated from vet school in 84, so I'm a little older than you. But, when I applied in 1979 and 80, I was from New Jersey, and one in 13 applicants was getting in. And so it was one of those things where, if this is what you really wanted to do, a lot of times it took a lot of diligence. It took, moving to another state, establishing residency. I had a lot of people in my class that, they'd been working on. As a matter of fact, the guy who graduated first in my class applied 5 times before he got in.
Wow.
So, it's a difficult field, and I think that most of us that pursue it, we're pretty sick. Like for me, med school wasn't an option. I didn't have a backup plan.
No, I didn't have a backup plan because I went to Penn State after I graduated with a degree in animal bioscience and went into the bioengineering department, and they just said, you have to, repeat your undergrad degree. Don't even think you could come in a master's program. And then I thought maybe I'd go get an MBA, and because I didn't want to get another a master's in physiology or a master's in something that I couldn't really get a job in. So I was like, I didn't have a backup plan either. I was like, I'm going to get in. I don't know what I'm going to do. But back then I think people were getting MBAs and going into hospital administration. But I don't know. So I guess it lucked out. I didn't have a backup plan.
Yeah, well, maybe it's better not to have a backup plan because then you just go, this is the one thing, so we're just going to do this. So how did you, so you went to Georgia and, in the 80s, and I'm pretty sure there wasn't a whole lot of holistic medicine being talked about back then in Georgia. So how did you end up deciding, hey, I want to do something different? Was there a certain point in your life or in practice that made you say, I've got to go look for something else?
Yeah, I think all through my career, we heard about Glycoflex is new and there's these new treatments you could take. And I kind of would hear Dr. Schoen talk about some medications and here's, milk thistle. And so you hear a little bit of those, because you sometimes run out of things to do in practice. So you're like, I don't have anything. We had Bute back then. We didn't even have Rimadyl. So if dogs had arthritis, what could we give them? What do we have to prevent, or to help them? And I don't even know if Adequan was around then. Mm-hmm. I think it was in horses.
Yep.
So I think the world kind of was giving me little nudges, hey, here's this medicine. Here's this. Go hear this person talk. And I'd heard about people taking acupuncture, and my friend, my one friend, Dr. Stacy Hirschman, she took the acupuncture class, and she does homeopathy, and she's very holistic when she's in school and out of school, so I had her influence of what she was doing, and I kept thinking, you have to do horses and dogs, and that's just too involved, that's too busy being the regular conventional medicine veterinarian. I had a great career, surgeon, ER doctor, regular medicine, was just, working, and I never thought, it's too expensive, it's too much time, I can't do this, I keep moving, I can't commit to something, and it's just going to take too much money. And then when I was in Chicago working as a relief veterinarian, all of a sudden the economy slowed down, and I was not working, or I'd go to work, and I wouldn't do anything all day. I'm like, my skills are just, I'm not doing anything, and my skills are just, not keeping them up. And then, and then my roommate, Kate McDuffie, who I laugh because I'm like, I follow you, because she said she took the class a year ahead of time at the Qi Institute for acupuncture, and I'm like, why didn't you call me? But I guess she just went in, to take the class, and so I said, well, maybe I should take the acupuncture because I'm waiting for the phone to ring for people to call me to work, and it's not ringing. So if I can take the acupuncture, maybe I can have my own practice, and I can make the phone ring and take more charge of my career and learn all about what's this acupuncture. And I want to see Dr. Shea. I want to see him speak because he has such a great reputation, and I want to take the class with him and find out what this is all about, because when I hurt my back skiing, I went to the regular doctor, and they were like, oh, here's your pain medicine, just go to rehab. And I was like, well, what do you mean? You're not helping me. You're not diagnosing it. You're not, I thought when you went to rehab, they're going to make me do exercises. She wasn't helping the pain. And I went to a chiropractor who did acupuncture and chiropractic and massage and kind of helped me through the whole back injury. And they helped me more than the regular doctor did. So I said, well, if this is helping me, then, this should help pets. So it's kind of like a combination of things all together just kind of worked out of, like, this is where my career should go.
Right. Well, sometimes all the stars are pointing at you and giving you a nudge. And, you probably hurt your back because you needed that nudge.
Yeah, the nudge.
So about the skiing, you're actually a ski instructor, right?
Yes, and that's another thing I did when the relief veterinarian business was very slow, is I always wanted to teach skiing, and I thought it'd be fun to do, and when you get kind of, you hit a burnout stage, or I'm working so much, what can I do as a fun job, it should be fun to be a ski instructor, and I knew people were ski instructors, and my ex-husband was a ski instructor and friends, so when it was slow, when I get slow, I get crazy ideas that come in my head. So I showed up at the local ski mount in Wilmot and stood up in front of them and talked about my ski, hobby and how I skied at Killington a lot, took lessons. And then I said, I'm a veterinarian, I don't have work, so I'm here for the winter to become a ski instructor. And they thought that was, funny and cute. And actually the head of the ski school, his wife is a veterinarian who went later. She's a chemist and went later. He said, hey, my wife's a vet, too, and she can't find a job. And I'm a ski instructor, too. So I'm like, isn't that funny how you have these veterinarians who, or people from different walks of life just say, hey, I want to pick this up as a hobby. So one winter, I hardly did any relief work, and I just skied every single day. And I, took all the classes to become a ski instructor.
That's pretty cool. So, the last time I skied was at Killington, and it was 60 below at the top of the mountain, and I said, I'm never doing that again. That's like the dumbest. So, why do people do this? So, I got rid of the skis and said, yeah, never again. I don't like cold weather. So, my sport is reading on the beach.
Yeah, you have to go out west. You have to go to Park City when it's sunny and beautiful. That's a better place to go skiing.
Yeah, I've been out there, and it is better. But, too many clothes. I went to a vet conference, a veterinary conference, the Western Veterinary Conference in Vegas one year. And so we decided we would go to the veterinary conference for the week. And then after the conference, we were going to leave Vegas. And I think we went up to Salt Lake City for a week of skiing. So, here we are getting off the plane in Vegas. And we've got ski boots and skis and all of our winter clothes. Plus, we've got all of our, summer conference clothes. And I think we had 13 pieces of luggage. And, I just looked at this mountain of gear and said, no, again, this is a dumb sport. I have way too much stuff.
Yeah, you know, we make a joke that you just put all the clothes you have in your closet on your body and then go skiing.
There you go. There you go. So I don't know. As soon as they make it so that I can ski in shorts and a tank top and it's 80 degrees, but then I might consider it. So you got certified in acupuncture, and then you also went and got certified as a CVSMT. I'm thinking that's spinal manipulation therapy.
Yes, yeah, I went for for chiropractic because I started to try to talk about acupuncture and Chinese medicine, and you know, it didn't seem like it was going over too well. People were kind of confused; they didn't know what it was. Oh, there's needles; they're afraid of needles. And actually, I worked with Dr. Gaspar, and she said, "Oh, you should go to chiropractic school. That's very popular in the Chicago area." So yeah, I meet people who tell me things to do, and I said, "Oh, I'm not doing that. I'm not interested." And then a couple years later, I said, yeah, I should investigate this. And then I went into the chiropractic school, and it's totally different. Yeah, totally different way of learning. As an adult student, it was hard to study and learn, and you study one thing and forget it and study another thing. And it was a very involved course, but that it kind of adds to the chiropractic, and the chiropractic adds to the acupuncture to do both. And that's actually because I – took that course, and you know, nothing happened. But then a year later, now people are calling me for the chiropractic skills.
Right.
So it's like one thing. Like my friend told me I'm not at the conference this year for the HVMA, but she said acupuncture is your gateway modality. You start with acupuncture, and then you just keep going.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to keep going and just see where it leads.
Yeah, see, and I did it the other way around. I learned the chiropractic technique first and then took the acupuncture. But, you know, what I find to be so cool is, you know, when I go down the spine and I feel areas that are out of alignment or areas where we've got, you know, a hot spot or a cold spot, it always lines up with the acupuncture. You know, we end up treating the same area. They always, you know, they match. And, you know, when I started doing both and I said, look how well, and now we have a thermal digital imaging unit in our office. So that's even more fun because we can take the digital image. And so I play little games, you know, I'll have the technician take the image and I don't look at the image. And then I go down the back and I say, okay, well, we've got a problem here. We've got a problem here. You know, we're going to adjust here. We're going to put needles in here. And then when we look, it always matches. And so I think that's really fun. And what it does is it's kind of evidence. You know, everybody says they want evidence-based medicine. Well, when you can take a thermal image and you can do an adjustment and you can find the acupuncture points that need to be treated and they all agree, that's some pretty good evidence. So I don't know if you find the same thing, but, you know, in my hands, that's just kind of the way it's worked out. And then, you know, now we do the cold laser therapy as well. So
I've palpated some dogs. I've told people, hey, there's a problem here. And then if people say, we have x-rays, then there is a problem there. You
know? Exactly. So that's
even just your skills, your chiropractic, your acupuncture skills, or there's heat here on your spine, there's something here. And so, it's funny how it all correlates.
It really does. And it's interesting, when I first started learning chiropractic, I started working on horses. I did a lot of horse work way back. And, you know, I didn't trust my hands at the time, I guess. And so we actually bought one of those little thermometers. They're actually used in construction work, but it's a thermometer that you can basically take over the body. It's like a little laser thing. You take it over the body, and it'll tell you what the temperature is. And so you can go along the spine, and you'll see that, you know, at the skin it might be 97 degrees, and then all of a sudden it'll jump up to 98 or 99, and then it'll jump back down. You go, oh, there's a hot spot. And, you know, over time, what I learned is that, you know, our hands can pick up that very, very subtle difference as well. And generally, we do it with our hand hovering over the animal, not actually in contact. But we don't give ourselves enough credit to, you know, to be able to find those very, very subtle differences. I mean, acupuncture really is kind of an energy modality, not unlike Reiki or craniosacral therapy. That, you know, there's so many modalities that we can use. But, part of it is trusting the process.
mm-hmm. Yeah, trusting it. You learn trusting your hands and trusting your intuition to know, hey, there's a problem here.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about you when you do acupuncture, but when I do acupuncture, you know, there's the cookbook, and you can just, you know, do it by cookbook. Okay, you've got hip dysplasia. You know you're going to use these 6 points or whatever. And I rarely use my cookbook. For me, it's what my hands feel and tell me. You know, I feel the hot spots and the cold spots and the indentations and the, you know, the little bumps. And so, you know, for me, it's more of a touchy-feely thing. Does that happen to you as well?
Yeah, I'll check the book, and I'll write down what points I think that patient needs, and I'll check it and write a little list, and then, you know, according to the TCVM, and then you examine the pet, and then sometimes you find other points that are active, and then sometimes you might want to use pets on, you know, points on the left side, but they're laying on it, so you're like, well, right. The pet doesn't want those points. So yeah. Sometimes, you know, you're in a house call, so you can't always rush and look at the book, so you're like, oh, okay, I can't use those points. So what points do I need to use? So I kind of use a combination of, you know, what is a patient giving me, and then what points do I think I want to use, and then what point is a pet can actually let me use, because I've put some needles in where the pet's like, no, I don't like it, or I can't get it in, or they, you know, just take it out, and then you're like, okay, I guess I don't need that point. But I'm learning how to trust my hands a little bit more to go down this. You know, I'm still relying a little bit more on, you know, the list of points, and this is what I should use.
Right.
What I say I'm going to use and what happens, sometimes totally, you know, they agree maybe half, you know, 50%.
Yeah, and it's pretty funny, you know, sometimes I sit back when I'm done putting needles in and go, man, how did that one end up there? Like, that wasn't on my original list, but, you know, it's what the body told me. So, you know, for me, it's a lot of fun, and the responses that we get, I think, are pretty amazing. So we are just about at the end of our first segment. We need to take a break to hear from our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to talk some more about the different modalities that Dr. Niznik and I are using with our pets, things that can help your animals as well. So stay tuned. You're listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on DreamVision7Radio.com.
Interested in learning more? Visit Dr. Morgan's website at www.drjudymorgan.com, where you'll find detailed information about her blogs, a schedule of her upcoming speaking engagements, free information about integrative and holistic medicine, as well as an interactive forum where anyone can ask Dr. Morgan a question completely for free. Visit her website today to join the mailing list, where you'll find exclusive information and promotions only available to those select subscribers. Dr. Morgan is an accomplished author, having published several books about veterinary medicine and home cooking for your pets. You can find From Needles to Natural, detailing her journey from practicing traditional medicine to understanding the healing power of holistic practices today, on Amazon Prime, as well as What's for Dinner, Dexter, and Canine Kitchen Capers, which are two great recipe books that you'll find both delicious and entertaining. When it comes to our pets' health, you can never be too careful. We invest significant time in ensuring that they have long and happy lives, but it's important to invest the same dedication into our own longevity. The key active ingredient in Dr. Morgan's wellness formula, Pure New Zealand Deer Antler Velvet, is now available as a standalone human-grade product. Life Deer Antler Velvet is a whole food supplement rich in calcium and collagen to support healthy joints and strong bones. Our products prioritize purity, ethical harvesting, and quality sourcing above all else. Visit LifePureRecovery.com to learn more and order your first bottle today.
Tune in to world-renowned author, speaker, and holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy Morgan, and now radio host of Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Monday and Tuesday, 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Not sure which vaccinations should be given or how often? Not sure which food is best for your individual pet? Find out the answers to your questions in this weekly show, where Dr. Judy interviews top experts and showcases the latest products that will help your pets stay naturally healthy.
Does your dog have bad breath? Tired of spending money on expensive dental procedures? Try out Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops today and save money while maintaining your pet's oral health. With New Zealand Deer Antler Velvet as the primary ingredient, Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops are effective for treating stomatitis, gingivitis, and ulcers. You can purchase Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops directly from Amazon Prime or from her website, www.drjudymorgan.com. Dr. Morgan's wellness formula for dogs and cats provides multiple health benefits in one product. Made with all natural ingredients sourced from New Zealand, this supplement can be used routinely to maintain overall physical and mental well-being. This product is particularly beneficial for the maintenance of joint health, nerve and brain function, skin and coat health, immune function, gut health, and liver health. Find Dr. Morgan's wellness supplement today on Amazon Prime or at her website, drjudymorgan.com.
Welcome back to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets. So my guest today, Dr. Rosemary Nisnik, is practicing in, I guess it's Wisconsin-Illinois border. Are you pretty close to, in both states? I know you're in Wisconsin, but you're pretty close to Illinois?
Yeah, I'm within like 20 miles of the Illinois border.
Okay. So Dr. Nisnik has been working as a relief vet, as we heard, and I did relief work for a while in between jobs when my kids were really, really little. And being the relief vet can be a lot of fun because it's sort of like being the substitute teacher. Like, you don't have to worry about those chronic cases. Like, you don't have to go home and lose sleep over them because you're like, well, I saw it today. I may never see it again, you know. Mm-hmm. So there are some bonuses to being the relief doctor. I actually enjoyed it because I liked going in and seeing other practices and how they were run and meeting a lot of other doctors and clients. So it was kind of fun. But Dr. Nisnik is transitioning. She's in a transition period where she's getting her own house call practice started. And so as a woman and, you know, thinking about being a house call doctor, there's pros and cons. And I have to say the house call veterinarian is becoming more common. We're seeing a lot more house call practices, partly because one of the new fields in veterinary medicine is hospice and palliative care. So we're looking at, you know, how can we help these senior animals, and some of them aren't even seniors, but these animals that are at end of life, whether they've been given a bad diagnosis or whether they're just, you know, at the end of their lifespan. And for a lot of those pets, transport into the office is difficult, you know, because they're too big to get in the car and too, you know, they're down or they're decrepit or it's too anxiety provoking to get them in. So house call veterinarians are actually, you know, I remember as a child, my family physician would make house calls and come and treat my sister and I in particular when we were sick. I remember a house call doctor coming at 9 o'clock at night because I had a high fever. And, you know, I don't think you can find a house call physician anymore. I don't know. There might be some small town guys somewhere doing it, but it's not a thing in America. But the house call veterinarian is gaining traction. So, Rosemary, what attracts you to being a house call veterinarian? Like, what are some of the pros? Why do you think that's a good fit?
Well, it's good. It's a good fit because you could literally do it the next day. You decide you want to do it. If you have a client that needs a house call, you can take, you know, whatever equipment you need, put it in your briefcase or backpack and go to their home. You don't need equipment. You don't need expensive equipment. If you do have a laser, you could get a mobile laser. You could take your acupuncture needles. Your chiropractic is your hands or your activator. You could bring some products with you. So it's very mobile. And then cost-wise, it's very effective because you don't need to, oh, now I need to get an office, and I need to get phones and a copier and computers and pay for rent when I don't have any clients to be paying for that. As a startup, it's something you could just do, you know, the next day that you decide you want to do this, and a client calls you and says, hey, I could be there tomorrow. And, you know, you don't even need a credit card machine. You could take cash or check. you could just do it really quick. And then the thing, too, is acupuncture. I've done it in clinics, and I've done it in the home. And sometimes it's nice to go in someone's home. You have more time to get to know the patient. The pets are more relaxed. You know, there's no barking dogs or, you know, phones or, you know, noise in the background. To do that in a home, it's very relaxing for the patients. And I've noticed that they're more relaxed when you do some of those modalities in a home location.
Yeah, and I find that, particularly with the Chinese medicine, doing the tongue and pulse diagnosis, you're much more likely in a home setting to get the real analysis. Because I find that some of these dogs in particular, they're so anxious in the office. The only thing I can get is a bright red tongue that's panting because they have so much anxiety. The anxiety tells me something about the patient, but it doesn't give me the information that I need as far as what's going on at home. So I, you know, always have to ask the clients about that. Well, does he do this at home too? Oh, no, he's a totally different dog at home. Oh, great. Well, okay, tell me about the dog at home because that's the one I want to treat.
Yeah.
So I've done a few house calls in my life. A lot of times it's, you know, end of life, euthanasia, people, you know, for very good friends or good clients, I've gone in and done it. It's not something that I really enjoy. Or that I want to get known for. So I don't want all of you calling me to do that, please. in-home euthanasias, and so there's this new group now called Lap of Love, and they're a nationwide group that is a hospice and euthanasia service. And I think it's excellent. And for some people, it is the right fit. For me, I think that providing that particular end-of-life service multiple times day in and day out, I don't think that emotionally I would be able to survive that for very long. And I have friends who are house call, hospice, and end-of-life veterinarians that just love it, have the, you know, the absolute perfect personality for it. But one of the things that I'm always concerned about, and you can tell me if you've run up against this, when you go into a home to treat an animal, it seems to me that, you know, particularly some dogs who are used for guarding or certain breeds who, you know, their job is to protect the property, how difficult is it when you're dealing with a dog whose main function basically is to be the protector and the guard dog?
Yeah, it can be a little stressful because you come into the home and I joke that sometimes veterinarians have that vet smell or vet look. And they know, and they're like, oh, no, and that they're barking. You know, I've had a couple. Some of the patients are older, you know, pets that are having trouble, but there's a younger shepherd that had some allergies and, you know, they're barking at you in the front door, and I'm coming in trying to act like, oh, it's okay, but you're still watching your hands. And a lot of times you just have to sit there and just calmly, you know, take a history and talk to the pet, maybe offer some treats, and then don't get too, you know, when you examine them, don't get too vet-like so that they know, oh, she's just here to see me. She's here to touch my leg, but, you know, to do the pulses, but she's not pulling out a stethoscope. She's not pulling out needles. Right. You just get that pet to get your trust because I guess I never really thought that they were going to actually bite me, but I was always wary to keep my face away, my hands away, just until I got to know, hey, how is this pet doing? And then the owners would kind of hold their head because they saw I was a little apprehensive. But, right. You know, so far, well, I have had a couple that I did have to muzzle when I put some needles in initially because they just didn't like the needles. And we had to use a muzzle because they were trying to come back and bite me. And then once you got the needles in, they were fine. But, right. You know, you have to be safe because you're like, hey, I can't have you get bit, and I can't get bit because I won't be able to work if I get a severe bite on my hand.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. The other day, I must have had my vet smell. I don't even wear a white coat. If anything, I wear a black short jacket in the office because I don't want to have that, you know, doctor-looking smell. And the other day, I must have had the, you know, I'm the doctor, you should eat me sign on my forehead because I had four dogs that went for me. One actually got me. And, you know, by the fourth one, I just said, do I have, like, something coming off of me today that just says you should eat me? Every once in a while you have that kind of day. And I was just like, wow, I should go home. There's something not right here today.
What am I wearing? Yeah, what am I wearing? What am I putting off?
Sometimes you just have to, you know, and it's funny because I'm really not afraid of dogs. And some of my worst bites have been small dogs. But the other day it was all big dogs. I had a couple shepherds and a couple of mixes, but I mean, everybody wanted to eat me. So I always worry about that, you know, going into a home. I mean, I think it's nice for people like me. I've got seven dogs and four cats. So, you know, if I wasn't a veterinarian and I needed to have this crowd, you know, get their annual exam and blood work and everything, putting them all in the car and taking them all at the same time would be a little bit of a nightmare. And so having a house call doctor might be kind of nice.
Yeah. I guess, or you come in with that calming, you know, you could put a protective cloud around yourself or put some oils on, peace and calming, and get your energy down. And that's what energy you portray to the dog and or the cat, and it brings their energy down too.
Well, that's a good thought. You know, maybe I was just a little hyperactive at work the other day. So maybe some essential oils actually have some peace and calm. I mean, maybe I'll put some of that on and see what happens.
Some lavender.
Yeah, really. You know. This is where the essential oils come in really handy. And actually, we use a lot in clinics. So. I don't know. So next time that happens, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to grab something calming. I'm going to spray it all over me.
Yeah, see, there's a difference. Yeah. I've stopped when I've worked in practices and taken my white coat off and then sprayed those calming sprays that they have, the commercial sprays, and I've noticed that the pets are more relaxed if you give them a few minutes. Yeah, especially the white coat. I think there's some of the white coat, I think it's fluorescent to them because the technician goes in, they're fine. I come in with the white coat, and they just are not happy, and they're trying to go for me, and they don't want me to touch them and try to bite and take the coat off, and then they're like, oh, different dog.
Yeah, because they weren't going for my technician the other day. They were all going for me. So, you know, and that brings up a good point. Do you think that the owner puts off something a little bit different when we walk in with, you know, because a lot of people have white coat syndrome. You know, they see the white coat and they kind of freak out. Do you think the pets
think
are getting owners, anything from the owner?
Yeah, I think they can sense the owner's a little anxious. Oh, someone new came in the room. What's happening? I've had a couple house call clients where the owners are terrified of acupuncture needles, and they're so stressed, and they try to do acupuncture on the animal, and the animal won't calm down because the owner is just so freaked out of acupuncture needles that I've actually had to stop and say, no, look, the needles are very gentle. Look, they're not like a hypodermic needle. And so, you almost want to give the people some essential oils or say, hey, can you go another room because your energy, you're giving your dog some energy to tell them to be afraid of what's going on. And, you can't do that. Yeah, you have to go to your happy place.
Yeah. Well, and I think because acupuncture is an energy therapy, really, we have to be in the right frame of mind when we're performing acupuncture. It is definitely not something that you want to do when, you know, you've just had a huge fight with somebody or, you know, you've just been attacked by another dog. You have to kind of ground yourself and walk in. And so when I have to do it, I kind of walk in the room and take a deep breath and I sit down and chat. So I don't like exam room tables. My favorite exam room does not even have a table. We have rubber floors and I have, they're actually puppy stairs, but I sit on those, and so I'm sitting at the same level as the client and the dog, and we just, you know, and we all sit on the floor together, and, you know, once we kind of get all calm that way, it goes so much better. I keep saying when I'm too old to get down on the floor with the animals, then that's when I need to retire, so far, so far I can still get on the floor. Sometimes a little bit slower getting up, but, you know.
Yeah, the getting up gets interesting. But it actually can help you stay younger because now you're getting up and getting down and exercising all those leg muscles and arm muscle and leg muscle that a lot of people don't do that just stand up all day or sit all day.
Yeah, so. Well, in my office, the business offices are upstairs in both offices, so I'm up and down stairs all day long. And again, when I can't do that anymore, then it's probably time to retire. So right now, every time I go up and down the stairs, I'm like, oh, this is good exercise.
Yeah, I'm learning how to get on the floor with clients. I've done it in the home, and I've done some relief work at some holistic practices that there's no exam table. And you're like, oh, okay, it's interesting. I got to get on the floor. And there's an exam room, which has a mat or a rug. And then getting up is fun. So, I'm getting my exercise.
It is good for us. Okay, it is time for us to take another break. Until we come back, go grab another cup of coffee, and we'll see you in just a few moments.
Interested in learning more? Visit Dr. Morgan's website at www.drjudymorgan.com, where you'll find detailed information about her blogs, a schedule of her upcoming speaking engagements, free information about integrative and holistic medicine, as well as an interactive forum where anyone can ask Dr. Morgan a question completely for free. Visit her website today to join the mailing list, where you'll find exclusive information and promotions only available to those select subscribers. Dr. Morgan is an accomplished author, having published several books about veterinary medicine and home cooking for your pets. You can find From Needles to Natural, detailing her journey from practicing traditional medicine to understanding the healing power of holistic practices today on Amazon Prime, as well as What's for Dinner, Dexter, and Canine Kitchen Capers, which are two great recipe books that you'll find both delicious and entertaining. When it comes to our pets' health, you can never be too careful. We invest significant time in ensuring that they have long and happy lives, but it's important to invest the same dedication into our own longevity. The key active ingredient in Dr. Morgan's wellness formula, Pure New Zealand Deer Antler Velvet, is now available as a standalone human-grade product. Life Deer Antler Velvet is a whole food supplement rich in calcium and collagen to support healthy joints and strong bones. Our products prioritize purity, ethical harvesting, and quality sourcing above all else. Visit LifePureRecovery.com to learn more and order your first bottle today.
Tune in to world-renowned author, speaker, and holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy Morgan, and now radio host of Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Monday and Tuesday, 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Not sure which vaccinations should be given or how often? Not sure which food is best for your individual pet? Find out the answers to your questions in this weekly show, where Dr. Judy interviews top experts and showcases the latest products that will help your pets stay naturally healthy.
Does your dog have bad breath? Tired of spending money on expensive dental procedures? Try out Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops today and save money while maintaining your pet's oral health. With New Zealand Deer Antler Velvet as the primary ingredient, Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops are effective for treating stomatitis, gingivitis, and ulcers. You can purchase Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops directly from Amazon Prime or from her website, www.drjudymorgan.com. Dr. Morgan's wellness formula for dogs and cats provides multiple health benefits in one product. Made with all natural ingredients sourced from New Zealand, this supplement can be used routinely to maintain overall physical and mental well-being. This product is particularly beneficial for the maintenance of joint health, nerve and brain function, skin and coat health, immune function, gut health, and liver health. Find Dr. Morgan's wellness supplement today on Amazon Prime or at her website, drjudymorgan.com.
Welcome back to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets. So I've been discussing with my colleague, Dr. Niznik, house call practice, acupuncture, chiropractic, alternative modalities that we're using more and more for our pets. And frankly, I feel that one of the fastest growing fields in veterinary medicine is alternative medicine. I think that pet owners are becoming more and more educated about alternative fields that are available, alternative treatments. I think that they're frustrated by the limitations of traditional medicine. I get a lot of new clients who, you know, have a pet with cancer or have a pet with paralysis or have a pet with, chronic disc disease, chronic pancreatitis, chronic anything. And the traditional veterinarians have run out of things in their toolbox. And I've had quite a few cancer cases where even the university has run out of things in their toolbox. And the clients say, there must be something else. And so they land on my doorstep and they say, please tell me there's something else. Now, as a holistic veterinarian, I cannot look at that person and say, hey, I have a cure for that cancer, or I have a, guaranteed cure for the arthritis or the disc disease, but I can say, look, I've still got, you know, 40 more things in my toolbox that I can pull out, whether that is herbs or food or chiropractic or acupuncture or laser therapy, nutritional support. I mean, there are so many things that we have to offer. So I actually used to be involved in organized veterinary medicine. I was on the board of the New Jersey Veterinary Medical Association as the liaison between the technicians, the technician group, and the veterinary group, trying to work on licensing of technicians and that sort of thing. And I was very passionate about it for a few years, and, you know, drove to North Jersey for the meetings. And, you know, I used to be very involved. And as my practice has gotten crazier and crazier, I had to drop that. And I actually used to teach in the technician school as well. I taught pathology and pharmacology for quite a few years. Really enjoyed it. But again, it's kind of one of those things, you do it because you enjoy it, because the pay is so horrible that you're not doing it to get paid. That is for darn sure.
Yeah.
And in organized veterinary medicine, there is no pay. So, you know, you're just volunteering all of your time. But Dr. Niznik is involved in organized veterinary medicine. So what position do you hold right now, and what have you held?
So currently, I'm the past president of the Chicago VMA. I was president in 2015 when I was taking the chiropractic class, which made that year interesting. And now I've jumped from the association to the Chicago Veterinary Medical Foundation, which is a charitable arm of the CVMA. And I was president of that for the last 2 years, and I will probably stay on for another 2 years
as
president of the foundation.
So... does the foundation raise money for research for pet owners? What are they raising the money for?
We're raising money for a few different endeavors, for, you know, education, scholarships for veterinary students or technicians, and then also locally for the local pets in need. So we're trying to be a resource for veterinarians in the Chicago area, who even are members of the Chicago VMA, to use that if one of their patients need emergency funds for a procedure, so that they can access, you know, their organization, not have to go to a state organization or to a national organization, just keep everything right at home in the Chicago area.
You know, I think that there are many of those foundations on, you know, a local level like Chicago, state level like Illinois, New Jersey, and on the national level through the AVMA. I think a lot of pet parents are not aware that there are resources, you know, either locally or nationally for funding for emergencies or pets in need. And so that's a good point. And it's one of the things that we have sometimes told clients who, you know, are sitting there with a big diagnosis and no funding for it. If you go online and start doing your research, and I have had clients come in and say, well, I had nothing in my pocket yesterday, but I went online, I found all these different groups, and I did the research, and I've come up with the $2,000 that I need. So, you know, don't ever think that you're at the end of the line. There are a lot of those charitable trusts out there where funds are available. Don't expect your veterinarian to do the work for you to find the funding. But if you do a little bit of scrambling, a lot of times you can come up with it. So that is a good resource. So thank you for your work with that. So when you are at, you know, the meeting, so Chicago VMA, Illinois State VMA, are you seeing this increase in holistic medicine forefront at that level as well?
Yeah, there are some courses that they're offering in the local, when they have the local meetings, the local CE meetings. We have some speakers come in who talk about, you know, alternative therapies, pain modulation. They do recommend acupuncture, chiropractic. I mean, some recommend it and say, yes, it's a good modality. Some recommend and say, well, you know, the research isn't there. But it's getting mentioned, and there is, you know, there is a demand for it. So I'm seeing it, you know, leak into the local levels currently, you know, in the course offering that they have in our Chicago VMA offerings. And I'm not sure about the ISVMA. I'd have to check with them. But, you know, it is, you know, we're talking about it.
Which
just the fact that we're even getting, you know, that I think part of it also is it used to be, it's kind of like the government. It used to be that it was the old men's club, and it's not that anymore. It is really changing.
No, I think there's, you know, there was, I was told Dr. Judy Morgan earlier that one time at the CVMA board meeting, we had five holistic veterinarians sitting there, and they're all women. So we're like, hey, you know, we're all women, we're a diversified group of women, and we're all holistic vets. So there you go, right on our board table. We had five of us sitting there. And so we're like, you know, watch what you're saying about the holistic medicine, because the five of us are going to stand up here, we're going to defend it.
And, awesome.
And you better get some courses on there. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty amazing. I have a friend who worked on the board of one of the state VMAs, and she worked diligently for about 5 years to have them invite me to be a speaker and talk about alternative medicine. And for 5 years, she got turned down. And, you know, she would call me every year and say, I tried it, you know, and I used to just laugh. And I'm like, well, someday the old guard will change on the group, and, you know, then they'll be more open to it. But, they, you know, and I'm not going to even say which state it is, but, man, they were just so resistant. They just didn't want to hear anything about it. But I think that alternative therapies are becoming more mainstream, particularly acupuncture. I mean, acupuncture, almost every practice in my area has somebody doing acupuncture. Even if they're not a holistic practice and they don't offer anything else alternative, they all have an acupuncturist.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I just wonder, you know, is that Dr. Shea's influence? You know, is it because it's getting more mainstream, you know?
It's becoming more mainstream, and I've seen it at some of the local, even the local ERs. They have a person who does acupuncture, and it might be just a medical acupuncture where they're doing it. And it's surprising, you know, you don't see it really, like you said, not heavily advertised, but when you look, you know, when you go to their website, you're like, oh, they have acupuncture there, or oh, they have a chiropractic doctor at, you know, a veterinarian that is chiropractic at this other ER referral center. And so it's there. And I think the, you know, one of the veterinary specialty centers have one or two doctors doing chiropractic. So it's slowly getting into the mainstream, you know, specialty centers, especially in the Chicago area. There's a big demand, I think, for acupuncture and chiropractic, you know, because people go to their chiropractor, you know, they're like, how come you're not doing this for my dog? Or why can't you do this for my dog? Or can you do this for my dog? You know, the acupuncture, I think, you know, people do it, and they, once they see the benefits, I think people are like, oh, I like it, my pet likes it. But I think that's a little harder to have people try it, because they're resistant with the needles. We have to get over that needle phobia. But the chiropractic, that's why I went to the chiropractic course, because people go to chiropractors, they said, yeah, my dog should go. You know,
yeah.
And once you do it and they could tell that it helps, you know, when I was newly doing the chiropractic, I was like, oh, I don't know, am I even helping the pets? What's going on? And some clients gave me the feedback, no, my pet felt better, was walking better. My dog's usually very itchy, has allergies. After he did the chiropractic, he didn't scratch for a week. And you're like, oh, I got that feedback from the client of,
right.
Yeah, you did do something.
Yeah,
you know, you did
oh,
help
absolutely.
My pet.
Absolutely.
And then they tell their friend, who tell their friend, and you get referrals. And
yep.
then, or they just tell people, oh, no, it does, you know, it does help. And my fiancé tells people what I do, and they're like, you do chiropractic on animals? And she's like, yeah, you know. He's like, yeah, she can do it on horses and dogs and cats. And so they're just amazed at, like, what veterinarians could do these days.
Yeah, I think that the chiropractic on horses is one of the hardest things. You know, people look at me, I'm 5'3". You know, I'm not a very big person. And, you know, everybody... I don't know. When you go to the chiropractor, they're not forceful. And so, and maybe it's people that have never been to a chiropractor, but they're kind of amazed. And they're like, well, how does somebody your size, you know, like move bones in horses? You know, they're so big. And, you know, chiropractic in horses started using 2x4s and mallets. That's how they were doing it. There was actually one guy, not a veterinarian, but a lay person, that was sedating horses and applying tractors with chains to each end of the horse and pulling to stretch the spine. needless to say, it was not a good thing. No. But that's the kind of brutality that people think about when they think about doing chiropractic on horses. And, you know, so I'm always explaining, no, it's about finesse and timing, and it's not a big motion, and, you know, you're not pounding on them. There's no force involved. And as a matter of fact, if you're trying to force it, you're not going to get the job done. So it's really a very light touch that performs the chiropractic. So, you know, for me, it's been a really good modality, and I've really enjoyed it. But I love the acupuncture, and for me, obviously, the food therapy is really my favorite part of practice. But it's really just one of the tools in the bag.
Toolbox. Yeah, the food therapy, the herbal medicine, the Tuina even helps if you can't. I've had a few patients recently. I couldn't. They're so painful. I didn't want to do chiropractic. So right. You're like, what can I do? Okay, you can laser. Maybe they don't want to do laser. They may not be able to afford laser. And you're like, well, I could just do some Tuina or massage. So like you said, it gives you another tool in your toolbox to say, oh, we can't do this. Let me do this now. You know, I can't put needles here. Your pet's painful. I can't do chiropractic. But I could get you an herbal and, oh, we could do some massage. We don't have to, you know, we don't have to do the chiropractic. And so it kind of, like you said, it just kind of gives you another avenue to go on. If I can't do this, what else can I do?
Right. Yeah, and for some of my needle-phobic clients, the patients aren't bad, but we can do cold laser acupuncture. So you just use the laser on, pinpoint on the acupuncture points. So, you know, it's the great thing about alternative medicine. There's, always a different way to approach. If one thing's not working, you can pull out something else. And if you can't do one of the modalities, there's, 10 more in line behind it. So that's why I enjoy it so much. Well, we are at the end of our last section. I cannot believe that time has flown. Wow. Rosemarie, thank you very much for joining me today. I wish you the best of luck with your house call practice. For those of you in the Chicago, lower Wisconsin area, it's HarmonyRoseAnimalWellness.com. Great information there, and Dr. Niznik will be available for house calls, and I think you'll find her very enjoyable. So thanks for joining us today. Until next week, give your pets a hug. Go out for a walk in the nice weather.
That's all for today. Find more answers to your questions next time on Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets, every Monday and Tuesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time by going to DreamVision7Radio.com. Join holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy to discover healthy options for raising your pets in a more holistic manner. Visit DrJudyMorgan.com to learn more.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.